IAM's Tom Buffenbarger will address attendees at NBAA 2009. EBAA is set to help European operators develop safety management systems. And Avidyne opens a new office to service Australasia. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 7th, 2009. The National Business Aviation Association has been working to make lawmakers and the media aware of the economic value to the nation represented by business aircraft and the companies that manufacture them. In 2 weeks at the NBAA 2009 convention, the association will present a featured speaker who is prepared to make that point with emphasis. Tom Buffenbarger is president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, which represents 700,000 active and retired members. He often gets around in a Learjet 60, so he knows whereof he speaks. Quote, "Each successive generation of aircraft is driven by technologies and innovations that directly and indirectly support millions of jobs and the kind of high-value economic activity which we simply cannot afford to lose," unquote. NBAA 2009 is being held the 20th through the 22nd in Orlando, Florida. EBAA, the European Business Aviation Association, Monday announced a new initiative to develop and deliver an ERP, or Emergency Response Planning Manual, for business aircraft owners and operators based in Europe. The goal is to get the manual available in the next couple months, almost a year before a November 2010 deadline set by the International Civil Aviation Organization for all operators to have in place a safety management system. Brian Humphreys, president of EBAA, explained, quote, "For a variety of reasons, numerous operators neither currently possess an ERP nor have the expertise to create an ERP, so our initiative is aimed at correcting this situation," unquote. Key subjects to be incorporated into the manual include flight operations, engineering and maintenance, security, finance, legal risk management and insurance, and interestingly, media response and handling. There's more info available front and center on the main page at www.ebaa.org. Avidyne Corporation Monday announced the opening of Avidyne Australasia, providing customer support and exchange depot services to Avidyne's customers, distributors, and limited service centers throughout Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia. Hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Sydney time. Support staff at the Sydney facility can process return material authorizations, verify warranty status, and address general customer support questions and concerns. Patrick Hergeth, Avidyne's chief operating officer, commented, quote, "With the opening of Avidyne Australasia and the previous opening of Avidyne Europe, we continue to make significant investments in internationally targeted support, which will lead to better service, faster turn times, and increased customer satisfaction," unquote. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin for some Cessna piston twins and says it also may apply to other airplanes that use a detented fuel selector valve system. The bulletin warns that if you can't feel those detents when moving the selector during preflight, something is out of adjustment. The bulletin stems from a case in which a Cessna Model 402C experienced a total loss of engine power on both engines due to several missed opportunities to detect, investigate, and correct an apparent lack of detent positions in the fuel tank selector valve system. This lack of detectable detents led to a failure of the fuel tank selector valve to move to the commanded position. The condition was not identified by the pilot in command during preflight and normal procedures or by maintenance personnel during maintenance inspections. The FAA says this concern is not an unsafe condition that would warrant a Part 39 airworthiness directive. Up next on ANN, the Red Bull Air Race Championship is back in England. SpaceX inches closer to the first test launch of Falcon 9. And Senator Schumer apparently reads USA Today. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Britain's Paul Bonhomme won the 2009 Red Bull Air Race World Championship on Sunday, with a victory in the final race of the season in Barcelona, in front of a record crowd estimated at 800,000 people. Bonhomme held off a ferocious challenge from defending champion Hans Arc of Austria to take that win. The Brit finished second in both 2007 and 2008, and took his first title with a sensational performance under pressure, earning 67 championship points for the year to Arc's 60. Australia's Matt Hall took third place overall. That's the best result ever for a rookie. The highest USA finisher for the season was Kirby Chambliss in fourth. American Mike Mangold, who has won the series twice, finished this year in seventh place after previously announcing that this would be his final year. SpaceX reports its Falcon 9 first and second stages have completed acceptance testing at the company's 300-acre structural and propulsion testing facility just outside Waco, Texas. Both stages were subjected to a variety of structural load and proof pressure tests. The company says the tests are a key milestone in readiness for Falcon 9's first flight, expected before the end of next year's first quarter. SpaceX CEO and Chief Technology Officer Elon Musk explained, quote, "Our team will now move forward with a static fire of the first and second stages, the last major milestone before hardware is transferred to SpaceX's launch pad at Cape Canaveral," unquote. On its first real flight, Falcon 9 will carry a SpaceX Dragon spacecraft qualification unit into orbit to provide aerodynamic and performance information. The second flight of the Falcon 9 Dragon system will occur under NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services program to demonstrate the ability to dock with the International Space Station, transfer cargo, and return cargo safely to the Earth. New York Senator Charles Schumer must read USA Today. After first pressing to bring home FAA pork to currently inactive Syracuse Suburban Airport in Oswego County, Schumer has now asked the FAA to deny the airport further funding. Schumer's switch follows a controversial USA Today article on September 17th, which criticized the federal government for funding capital improvements at small airports not served by commercial airlines, attempting to come across as a sort of bridge-to-nowhere exposé. The airport has already received $3 million and could get as much as $8 million more over the next 5 years if the owners submit their paperwork and follow through. FAA spokesman Jim Peters told the Syracuse Post-Standard, quote, "We believe having Syracuse Suburban in this part of the state would be a benefit to the national airport system," unquote. Echoing the airline industry talking points, which appear to have been the basis for the USA Today article, Max Young, a Schumer aide, told the Post-Standard, quote, "We urge the FAA to reject any future awards and instead to use their resources on busier airports that need help," unquote. Still ahead, a 2006 R-44 crash brings a lawsuit in Washington State. A wayward teen who taught himself to fly may have stolen a 182 in Idaho. And Ryanair would really prefer you not speak to its humans. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 7th. I'm Paul Plack. The family of a man killed when his R-44 lost power and went down in 20 feet of water in Lake Taps near Tacoma, Washington, is suing Robinson Helicopter for manufacturing a defective product and seeking unspecified damages. The only passenger, a woman, was able to free herself from the wreckage and swim to the lake's surface despite severe injuries. The accident took place October 8, 2006. The pilot, Russell Tom, was flying without a medical, denied because he was taking the antidepressant Zoloft. The NTSB investigated and blamed the wreck on, quote, "the complete loss of engine power for undetermined reasons while on final approach and the pilot's loss of control of the helicopter after the power loss. Factors include a lake below the final approach to the private landing pad," unquote. The Tacoma News Tribune reports that in the lawsuit filed last week, The family contends Robinson manufactured an aircraft that was defective and unsafe. They are seeking unspecified damages for wrongful death, loss of future earnings, and, quote, emotional distress arising out of the awareness of impending doom and injuries suffered by Russell Tom, unquote. State and federal authorities say a Cessna 182 theft from a cattle farm in Boundary County, Idaho, may be the work of a teenager believed to have taught himself to fly. The person of interest is Colton Harris Moore, an 18-year-old serial burglar who escaped from a juvenile facility in April of 2008. Police say he has stolen aircraft twice before. The Seattle Times said one was a similar Cessna 182, taken from Orcas Island, Washington, and the other was an unnamed experimental aircraft that Harris Moore allegedly flew to Orcas Island. He reportedly made hard landings in both incidents. The Spokane Spokesman Review reports that in this most recent incident, a construction crew reported seeing the 182 flying south or southwest early Tuesday morning last week. It went down in a clearing near Granite Falls, Washington, and was declared a total loss. The pilot apparently walked away. Authorities described the incident as survivable. Harris Moore is not an official suspect, according to Boundary County Sheriff's Detective Dave McClelland. The plane's owner, however, says, quote, everything's pointing to it, unquote. And finally today, if you think $50 or $100 to check a couple of bags on a round-trip flight is highway robbery, how about a charge of $64 each way if you check in at the terminal instead of online? The online publication Minneapolis Airlines and Airport Examiner reports that Michael O'Leary, CEO of Irish discount carrier Ryanair, says he expects to save $80 million by cutting airport staff and needs the fee to be painful to make sure that if we forget to check in online once, we won't repeat the mistake a second time. European discount competitors EasyJet and Air Berlin say they have no plans to match that stiff fee. Worth noting, if you check in online, as O'Leary wants you to do, you'll still pay an $8 fee. You know, sometimes it's hard to know whether to hate this guy or admire him. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Matthew McDaniel of Progressive Aviation Services explains what's new about the GPS Wide Area Augmentation System, or WAAS, and gives us a peek into his one-day seminars to unlock the technology's potential. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.